for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday morning, Labor Day, September the 5th, 1988. Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Linda Sutter is the speaker of the morning. This is tape one of two tapes of the morning service. The two tapes contain all the prayers and prophecies of the morning service.
Well, we've saved the best till last today. Amen. My little girl Linda's going to come and close out these series of meetings, Linda Sutter. And we praise the Lord for the glory of the Lord that is in this place.
Hallelujah.
Amen, amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the anointing that breaks the yoke. Thank you for the anointing that makes alive. Thank you for the anointing that anoints the word to our hearts. And we pray that the word would be quickened to us. The ministry will be quickened this morning, Lord. We pray that every one of us, all that we've heard in the last days, in these series of meetings, God, that it will take root in our hearts and bear fruit a hundredfold in the kingdom of God. I pray that not one of us would leave here the same as when we came, that God, everyone would go to their homes, quickened by the power of your Holy Spirit, determined, Lord, that you're going to move through them in the days to come, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, I want to thank you very much for the offering yesterday morning. It has been a marvelous blessing to me to see how God has supplied every single need for this trip, right down to the most minute detail. You know, when I planned this, and I didn't really plan it, God spoke it to my heart in a vision last March. In fact, in January, someone, I believe it was Brother Johnson that was here this weekend, gave me a prophecy that God was going to send me to Russia and that he would use music to open doors. And I believe that is true. I believe that's what will happen. But I'd forgotten about that. And then in March of this year, I was at a prayer meeting praying, just a prayer meeting at home, you know, one of those times when you don't expect anything is going to happen. You ever go to meetings like that, you know, just your weekly get-together, and I was kneeling there, I was in somebody's home, and I was kneeling there at the couch, and God began speaking to me, showing me a vision. I wasn't even really aware at that point that he was speaking to me. And I had this vision, and I was in a meeting. I was in somebody's home, and it was like I was in the dining room. And I could tell that the people were not Westerners. They looked like they were Eastern European by the way they were dressed. And I was also aware that we were at some kind of a party, only it wasn't really a party. We were there as a meeting of Christians. And in the vision, I was going around to each one and ministering over them by the word of the Lord. And I thought on this for several minutes, and when we all got done praying and sat down, I turned to the person next to me and said, you know, I believe God is speaking to me about going to Russia or to Eastern Europe. And nothing more was said. And the next morning, I got a phone call. And this brother said to me, he says, get in touch with Barbara Walton. She wants you to go to Russia with her. And so I got on the phone right away and called Barbara. As soon as I found out where she was, she's a lady preacher from Oklahoma. And I said, I'm ready to go with you. God has spoken to me. And then I remembered that 2 years ago, a lady in a nursing home up in Sister Bay, Wisconsin, where I live, there's a lady I used to visit in the nursing home there. And I'd forgotten, I told her about 3 years ago, I said, you know, I believe I'm going to be going to Russia one of these days. So you know what she did? She gave me a fur coat for the trip. I went and picked it out, and she says, you got to have that when you go. Well, I'm not taking it this trip, but who knows? Maybe down the road, I don't know what the Lord has in store. But when all of this came about, I thought, my goodness, I'm planning a trip, and I don't have any money. And then I was reminded of something Joy Dawson said once in a meeting I was at. She says, you know, when God speaks to you to do something, money should be your last consideration. That's the least you need to worry about if God has spoken to you. Praise the Lord. And that, you know, took up residence in my subconscious, came back at the right time. And I'll tell you, I can give you testimony this morning that God has supplied every need. And just the other day, I got all upset. I don't know if this happens to you, but I knew things had been going along too smooth, you know, here the last couple weeks anyway. And I was talking to the travel agent out in California after I got down here to camp, and I'm afraid some people saw my unsanctified side. And I was talking to the travel agent and found out that the trip was going to cost just about $400 more than we had planned. And I didn't have $400 more, and I was fussing about it and fussing at who I thought was responsible for causing that to happen. The next morning, I got a letter from somebody up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan with a check in it for $500. That took care of the extra $400 that the trip is costing. So I really thank God for that, and I thank God for you. And how God has used you to supply the extra money that I'm going to need in traveling for the next 3 months. And I want you, if I come to mind at some point, I want you to pray for me, because I believe that's the Spirit of God quickening you to pray. We don't know what's going to happen, but it's been interesting. The prophecies that have come, and when Barbara and I have talked on the telephone, we've been in different parts of the country, and we find out that we've gotten words of prophecy that just confirm one another. I was in Grand Rapids in August at the fellowship there, and Sherry, the lady that shared up in the ladies' meeting yesterday, gave me a word of the Lord about ministering to Jews. And I didn't even think we were going to be anywhere near Israel or anything. And when I talked to Barbara, she had gotten the word of the Lord about ministering to Jews. And she said, by the way, we've changed our itinerary. We're going to be in Israel for the first 3 days of the Feast of Tabernacles. Praise the Lord. We also plan to be in Rome. We're going to go to the Vatican. We're going to be in, trying to think of some of the other places. The reason I'm sharing this, I've had about a dozen people come up and ask me, you know, different questions, so I'm going to take care of it right now. We're going to, Thursday, I'm leaving from here, and we're going to Iceland. I'm meeting the rest of our team. There's going to be 8 of us traveling to Iceland to meet Barbara, who's in Iceland ministering, and from there we're going into Europe, and where we'll be for 15 days. We have contacts, a number of contacts, and in Germany, in East Germany, and in Switzerland. We're going to be in that area for a time before we go into Russia. And then when we come back from Russia, we're going. Half of the team is coming home, and 5 of us are staying. And we plan at that point to go into Romania. And God has put Romania on Barbara's heart a number of years ago. He transported her in her body from California to Romania to minister to some people, and she hasn't been there yet. And we got a contact in July with somebody who goes into Romania frequently and is going to take us in, and she told us, she said, the music is going to be the key. Praise the Lord. And God spoke to me in a vision 16 years ago about Iceland. And I've just been waiting on God for 16 years for the door to open to go into Iceland. You know, when I was first saved, and I want to say this to all of you because it goes along with a couple of things I want to share this morning, and then we're going to go into something else. But when God speaks to you, you know, He is bound to bring it to pass. He's given you a word of prophecy concerning a ministry, concerning something He wants you to do. He is duty-bound. You know, the Scripture said he's not a man that he should lie, or the son of man that he should repent. Has he spoken and shall he not make it good? Has he promised, shall he not do it? And if you hold to your end of it, if you're faithful to the things that he's required of you, he's absolutely faithful to bring it about. And you know, if you'll notice, when we hear prophecies, a lot of the time, it's a conditional. If you will do this, I will do this. And even sometimes we've gotten off track a little bit. And I was looking at the Scripture yesterday and today, and looking at the promises, particularly in the minor prophets, and how God says, and in Zechariah says, I will again turn and comfort Zion. And even when we've gotten off track, if there is a heart in you to serve the Lord, even when you have missed it, if there's a heart and there's been a repentant heart in you that you want to get back on track with what God has planned for your life, I have confidence in God that He will still bring to pass those things that He promised to you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now I want you to turn to Zechariah this morning. You know, I want to, before we even get into this, I want to say again, I've said it a few times, but I've got to say it again, how I thank God for Lake Hamilton.
Amen.
Especially since the first of the year, since I spent a month here in December, and I had an ulterior motive in being here in December, and that was I felt I had some needs in my life that needed to be taken care of. And so I didn't plan any meetings from Thanksgiving until January, and wanted to come down here and just seek the Lord and be with the folks here and help out if I could. And I think they helped me much more than I helped them. But after I left here in December and went home and went back up north and began ministering in the churches I go to usually about once a year, it has been interesting, the comments that I've gotten as I've gone into different places. And they'll say, Linda, what's happened to you? And at first, you know, I wasn't going to say anything, but I thought, you know, why hide it? And a different one says, what's happened to you? You've changed. And I finally says, well, I think it's called deliverance. And I know when I came down here, I came in, and the first day I says, you know, I want you to pray for me. You think I could get those people to pray for me? They were so busy doing everything else. And, we had good fellowship, and I didn't make a big deal about it. I just said, you know, I'd like you to pray for me. And I thought, well, I'll just fast and pray till they pray for me. And so I fasted a couple days, and I fasted a couple more days. And, you know, the Scripture had come to mind in all of this, and I believe it really is something to consider because, you know, Jesus is speaking in one place in the Gospels. He said this kind doesn't come out except by prayer and fasting. And if you really mean business and really want to get set free, I think a real good thing to do is to fast and pray for a few days before you submit to deliverance. I believe God really put that in my heart, and I've been encouraging people. Makes it a little easier anyhow. You know, if you want to be prayed for, why don't you fast 3 days, and then we'll get together and we'll have prayer. Not that doesn't, you know, you can't do that every single time. But at first I did that because I wasn't so sure I wanted to pray for anybody for deliverance anyway. And so, you know, kind of puts it off for a couple of days. And Irma said the other day, somebody here said, you know, if God is calling you into a ministry of deliverance, you can't get away from you. It'll be everywhere you go, you know. There'll be a need there. And so I have found that to be true. Well, I don't want to go into all that happened back in December. I just want to say God set me free. Finally came, and it really, deliverance began to flow before they ever prayed for me. I was just sitting here on the floor one night, Sunday night, when we were having a regular Sunday night get-together and praying. Nobody laid hands on me. I was just ready. And deliverance began to flow. Praise the Lord. And it's flowed since. God's brought more deliverance. And it's been a blessing now as I've gone in the churches up north where I've gone for a number of years. And to be able to say, it's deliverance. And you know what has happened as I said that? people have come and wanted deliverance. I was in a church up in Minnesota a few months ago, and I was sharing with a pastor what had happened to me. And he says, I think that's what I need. Praise the Lord. We had a ladies' retreat up there, and we prayed for everybody for deliverance. We just prayed right on through the night for deliverance for people, and haven't felt any repercussions from it yet. I don't know, maybe it'll happen down the road a little bit. Because it was in a church denomination.
It'd be good repercussions.
Yeah, right, right. I don't care anymore. You know, for so long you just want to, you know, not make any waves and just walk along and be a blessing to people. And I found out even when you do that, sometimes you make waves. And somebody gets, you know, upset about something. And I got called in just a few months ago, I got called in to my district superintendent. I hope it is on the tape. But I got called in and I thought, what have I done? And I thought about it and I thought, I think I probably know what it is. So I got called in and he began to talk to me and he says, you know, you've got an unusual ministry. He said, we don't have that too much in our churches. And we began to talk back and forth and we talked for about 3 hours. And I just says, Lord, if you want me to be here for a while yet, you'll take care of it. And if you don't, that's okay. You know, that's the way it is. And so after we had visited for 3 hours, he says, I'll tell you what. He says, I don't endorse ministries until I'm assured. And he says, I will endorse you. And he says, I will endorse you. And I mean, I could go into the churches in our denomination anyway. But he said, I will endorse you. So I got the district superintendent behind me for a little while yet. Praise the Lord. And there are people in churches that are hungry for God and are crying out for God. And, you know, there was a time when, you know, I was just among some of the come-outers. And, you know, you can get a mindset one way or the other. And sometimes when you're in one association of people, you think, oh, there's not hungry people anywhere else. But it's like God spoke to the prophet, you know, there's 7,000 yet that haven't bowed their knee to Baal. And there are those that are in churches that aren't part of that system that God is dealing with and calling to Himself. There are those all over the country, all over the world, that might have a denominational title on them, but their heart is to follow the Lamb whithersoever He goes. And my heart has been, I'm just giving a little bit of testimony. My heart has been, ever since I went in to the ministry full-time, was to be a blessing to those people, to be a breath of fresh air to them that didn't have the benefit of other ministries coming through, didn't have an opportunity to get to the big groups and get to the big conventions. That was the burden God put on my heart, and that's still the burden of my heart. I don't care if I go to a big church or not. When I began going out, I began seeing the places in northern Minnesota, North and South Dakota, Minnesota, upper Michigan and Wisconsin, the places like that, little groups. I grew up in a small church, and we were always delighted when some ministry came through. And so that's been my heart cry, and it has been a blessing. God has taken me into those little out-of-the-way places to just be a blessing to His people that are there. And you'll be surprised at where His people are. You really will. I mean, who ever heard of Trout Creek, Michigan? Up in the upper peninsula of Michigan. Trout Creek, way back, no major highway going through there or anything. And there's a nucleus of people there who absolutely love God and are hungry for God. And I could go on and begin to name all kinds of names. Grassy Narrows, Ontario. Whoever heard of that? And there's a Mennonite group up there hungry for God. Amen. Ministering among the Indians up there. I mean, just could go on. God, and if you put them all together, we have got a mighty army. Praise the Lord. There's a mighty army of people that God has been preparing, doing a work in for this end time. Now, this week, we've been here and we've heard such absolutely tremendous teaching, haven't we? Absolutely wonderful teaching. I have been so blessed. I get blessed every time I come down here and am able to sit under the ministry of the others. And we've just heard wonderful prophecies, wonderful words of the Lord. And I've tried to remember some of them. Irma was saying, you know, we don't remember after the service isn't over. And just this morning, I was writing down just some key points in the prophecies that were coming forth this morning. And the Lord was speaking about leaves and how we would be in, how we would nourish many and that we should spread His work. And we're not to hoard the blessings of God to ourselves. Do you remember that one?
Yes.
That we're to begin to give it up, give it out. He's going to open doors and He's going to give us words to speak. And I was really blessed when I heard that, because that went along with some things I just wanted to encourage you with this morning before we go home. If you have a heart to do something for God, He's going to open the door. And you can go with the things that He has given us here this weekend, the last few days, and God will give you places to share it.
Yes.
And there's so many that, you know, I call them frustrated preachers. People that, and I believe they do have a genuine call on their heart to do something for God. A genuine unction from the Lord. But the mind gets in the way, and you want to have a great big ministry, and you want to start in the pulpit somewhere when God's got nursing homes and He's got prayer groups and He's got Bible studies and He's got little home groups and things like that where He wants you to share in the places where you live, in the communities that you all come from. And you know, I've noticed one thing, and I want you to turn. Maybe you're already there. In Zechariah 3, there's a scripture starting at verse 1. And sometimes we've come to meetings like this, been blessed. Then we get home into on our own turf, into our own environment, and the frustrations begin to come. And the, right? You get home and you think, oh, I just want to go back and stay at Lake Hamilton. I feel that way. Just want to go back and be where that anointing is. I tell you what, if all the facts were known, there's frustrations here like there are at your home. Right? But you get back on your own turf, you get, you know, back into the routine, back to your 8-to-5 job or whatever it is you're doing, and you remember the blessings that were here, and you just begin to get back into that routine and the things that begin to happen. And I have seen this happen with so many people, the frustrations and the problems, and then Satan comes back and begins starting to accuse you. And here was Joshua, the high priest. Now the scripture tells us, Peter told us, that we are a royal priesthood. We're a kingdom of priests, the scripture tells us. And here was Joshua, the high priest, the one that had been tremendously used of God. And he was standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan was standing at his right side to accuse him. Now, we don't know how Satan was accusing him, but we know how Satan has accused us. Scripture says he's the accuser of the brethren. And he'll accuse you if you let him. And he was standing there at his right side to accuse him, right where he'd have all of Joshua's attention. And the Lord said to Satan, now listen, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this man a burning stick snatched from the fire? And whenever I look at the scripture, whenever I look at Jerusalem, whenever it says anything about Jerusalem, I take that scripture and I apply it to myself. We are God's holy city. We are that place where He has put His Spirit. We are His city of peace. The Lord who has chosen you, the Lord who has chosen me, rebuke you. Is not this man a burning stick snatched from the fire? How many of you have that kind of testimony? God snatched you out of the fire. Amen. Now, the scripture says that Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes as he stood before the angel. And the angel said to those that were standing before him, take off his filthy clothes. Now in the scripture we see that filthy garments are a type of something, and it's a type of sin or sin and iniquity. It's a type of the old nature. A lot of us, a lot of you have been in situations where you've been affected by sin, where you've gotten defiled in some way, even after you've been saved, after you've been filled with the Spirit, gone into places, been in situations where you've been gotten affected. When you stand before the Lord, very conscious eventually of how you have been affected by whatever it might have been. But the angel of the Lord said, take off his filthy garments. And then he said to Joshua, see, I've taken away your sin. We heard a prophecy this morning, didn't we? How he's taken our sin away. Didn't we hear a word of the Lord like that? How he has cleansed us, taken away your sin, and I have put rich garments on you. And he said, put a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him while the angel of the Lord stood by. Now I want you to turn back. There's a scripture in Ezekiel. Talks about how the priests were attired when they went in to minister to the Lord. Ezekiel 44, I'm sorry. When they put that clean turban on the head of Joshua the high priest, to me that tells me that his thought life was being transformed. Thought life was being changed. And you know, in Ezekiel chapter 44, it talks about the sons of Zadok, the priests that ministered before the Lord, the ones that were faithful to God when the rest of Israel went astray. And God gave them a very special function because they had been faithful. He says, you're going to come near to minister to me. Praise the Lord. And it said when they would enter, he told them how they should dress. He says, they're the ones that are going to offer to me the fat and the blood. And when they would come in to the inner court, they had to dress a certain way. Now, I think it's absolutely astounding how God gives every detail in the Old Testament. Isn't it wonderful? All these details, they meant something. They mean something to us today in the Spirit. They all have very much significance to you and I. These things aren't just laws that were just given for that time until the fullness of time would come when Jesus would be born and the perfect sacrifice would be made. They are all types for us. Types and shadows of things that God has prepared for us, things that God has for us to walk in, for it gives us understanding on how He would have us to do right now. And when those sons of Zadok, those Levites, would come in to minister in the inner court to the Lord. You know, when we come in, I mean, we just walk right in, we walk up here, we get in, we start clapping our hands, we start singing, we start dancing and all that. Boy, they had a routine they had to go through. They had to take their clothes off, and they had to wear linen clothes. Now, linen in the Scripture always means, what does it mean? Righteousness. It means righteousness.
They had to wash before they could put it on.
Yeah, and they had to wash, totally bathe before they could put it on. We are washed. I beg your pardon? That's right. We'll see that as we go on here. It goes on. It talks about that as we just continue on in this. We are washed with the water of the Word. And then we are clothed in His righteousness. And so that priest was washed. He was he clothed himself in linen garments. He could not wear anything when he went into that inner court to minister to the Lord that would produce sweat. Couldn't wear any woolen garments. And they had to wear linen turbans on their head as well. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He is renewing our mind. We come into the presence of the Lord to minister to Him. He's renewing our mind. Praise the Lord. Giving us a new thought. We're walking into a new day. We're entering into a new day. We've heard that all week long. We come in, begin to minister to the Lord. He has been teaching us His ways, His new ways. We have His mind in us. You know, the Scripture says He's invested this treasure in earthen vessels. I love that Scripture. They could not wear anything that would make them perspire. What does that say? We come into the presence of the Lord. It's not our work by our works of righteousness which we have done. We come in clothed totally in His righteousness. There's not one thing we can do to gain favor with the Lord except to accept His mercies through Jesus Christ on the cross. That's the only thing we can do. And so when they came in to minister, they had to come just clothed in His righteousness.
Yes, hallelujah.
The Scripture goes on to say when they walked out, they had to take those clothes off and put on their other garments. And I don't fully understand that, Brother Glenn. Maybe you've got the revelation on that. I don't understand that. That's good. That's good. You know, there is something. It says that you don't consecrate the people by means of their garments. And it talks about how they would not shave their heads or let their hair grow. And that they would, after they came out, and I want you to notice this, after they came out, it says in verse 23, that they are to teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane. Between, and show them how to discern, to distinguish between the unclean and the clean. You know, when you get into that place, when we come to this place, when we come into the inner court to minister to the Lord, He will begin to teach us things that we haven't learned anyplace else. You want discernment from God? I believe He'll give it to you as you come into the inner court and begin to minister to Him.
Yes.
You want to get some understanding on things you haven't had the revelation of? He'll begin to give it to you as you get into that inner court. You can hear the teaching, and we've had this wonderful teaching, but you've also heard that unless it's a revelation to you, that's all it's going to be, is a thought. It's got to be a revelation. And that revelation gets a hold of us, not only as we've heard it taught, but as we get into that inner court and minister to the Lord, and He begins to teach us. Hallelujah. And as you go home from these meetings, clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, His thoughts in your mind, clothed with that linen turban around your head, and you go in and begin to, as you get home and into your routine and into your, maybe you think it's a mundane existence or whatever, it really isn't if you're in Christ Jesus, you begin to move into that place like those sons of Zadok did and begin to minister to the Lord. Hallelujah. And He will continue to teach. And He will continue to make Himself known. And I'll tell you what, you don't stay there all the time. Just like you can't stay at camp meeting all the time. You can't stay in that, you're not in that inner court place all the time. God calls you there into that place, that communion with Him, that communication with Him. But you go back out into the outer court. You go back out to minister to the people where they are. And God will do that for you and me. He'll send you out into outer court places to minister of that which you have received in that inner court place that you've been with Jesus. Hallelujah. Doesn't that make you want to shout? Praise the Lord. He's going to use you when you go home. Praise the Lord. Now, we've had a lot of people this weekend, during the convention, there's been a lot of ministry to people. And I'm also aware of the fact that there's been a lot of people who have not been ministered to. And the word of the Lord that has come to so many has been, and it came to me, God is putting before you, and you know, an open door, new anointing. And some of you have gotten very similar words. But you know, my heart this morning is going out to those of you. And some of you have maybe come to convention after convention and you never get a word. Are there people like that here this morning? You don't get a word. Everybody else does, but you don't. I'll tell you, since I've been coming to Lake Hamilton, I've gotten more words than I've had in years. I just sit there on the front row and wait for the prophets to come by. But I want to tell you something. For years, it wasn't that way. In fact, for years, 10 years, I sat in a local church up in Minneapolis, and I never once got a prophecy. I mean, the prophets would come by and prophesy over everybody else, and they'd go right around me and prophesy to the next one. And I couldn't figure it out. I got a little paranoid about it after a while. And, you know, I knew that God was calling me and had called me a long time before, you know, to go out full-time in ministry. And I didn't want to do it until I got a prophecy confirming it so everybody else would know and so nobody would criticize me when I took that step. And I want to tell you something. The prophecy never came. Till finally I decided we're going to go for it without the prophecy. I remember I was on a business trip over in eastern Wisconsin. I'd never been in that part of the country then. And I was sitting in a restaurant eating dinner by myself. And I had a man in my local church, prayer group is really what it was, had come to me the week before and just said to me, he says, God's going to begin to open doors of ministry for you. And as you're faithful to go through one, others will open. You know, and I thought, oh, that's wonderful. I had always expected it would come when somebody would come over and say, thus saith the Lord, and everybody would hear it. He just grabbed me as I came in the door and pulled me aside and told me. But I had already determined I was going to go for it when I went to church that night. So 1 week later, to the day, I'm sitting in a restaurant eating dinner by myself on a business trip, and I'm sitting there, and a man and his wife and a couple of children come and sit down right next to me, bow their heads and say grace, and begin to eat and begin to talk about the service they had been in that morning. And I knew, it didn't take any discernment to know, that they were full gospel people. I could tell, you know, you know by the way they're talking. So finally, after just a few minutes, I leaned over and I said, say, what church do you folks go to? And he says, well, I'm the pastor of the Pentecostal Church of God in town here. And I says, well, praise the Lord. I says, I'm a Pentecostal too. And it just blesses me to hear you all talking about the Lord. The whole family just talking about the Lord the way you are. And he says, well, why don't you join us? So I just moved my coffee cup over and joined him. Their table was just right next to mine. I moved over and joined him. We talked about not even 5 minutes. And that brother said, sister, God tells me you're to preach in my church tonight. And, you know, after he said the words, he was surprised at what he said. And I says, well, I'll tell you what. I says, I'll come. I says, I'll bring my guitar. And I says, we'll just see how the Lord leads. Well, that sounded just real fine to him. I didn't know. I mean, God put the right people together. They love to sing and worship the Lord. And we went, and he says, well, we won't have very many people. I says, I like small groups. He says, you won't get much of an offering. I says, you don't have to give me any offering, you know. And so I went that night. And we danced and we sang and we praised the Lord and we worshiped. We had a time. We went long past what would have been the normal time to get finished. And I'll tell you something. What is absolutely the most wonderful blessing, I can trace everywhere I have been since that day in that Ponderosa restaurant. I can trace everywhere I've been in the last 10 years back to that meeting in that restaurant, even coming here to Lake Hamilton. Praise the Lord. Isn't God good? And He'll do the same for you. And God will make a way for you to minister that which He has put within your heart. Now, I got off the subject here a little bit. But my heart has been for those of you who have not received a prophetic word for a long time. And you know, I really have to apologize about something. Because all this weekend I've been sitting here and God's been dealing with me, and I realize I have not really been sharing my ministry with you. I mean, it's a lot safer to come and sing a song with Brother Bill. But God has given me a gift to share with the body of Christ. And this morning, there are those of you that have not received the word of the Lord I want to pray for this morning. And if God doesn't give me anything, I won't share it. But if He does, I will. I don't believe, I've always felt this way about the gifts of the Spirit. They're available for when the need is there. And sometimes we always like to have the good feelings and just feel that wonderful anointing before we move off into a ministry. But if God has set put a ministry in your life, it is there to be used when the time is right. And the first one I want to pray for this afternoon, maybe you've been prayed for before, I don't know, Brother Gus, but I want to pray for you. I want to pray for that man in the back who raised his hand, if he's still here. Yeah. And some of the rest of you that have not been ministered to this weekend, and I don't want all of you to come up here yet, but I want to begin to pray for you, some of you. And I want to pray for Gus, and I want to pray for that brother, and some of the rest who have not been ministered to, okay? Who have not been ministered to. If somebody else has ministered to you, don't come. But some of the rest of you who have been, and you've been asking God for a word, okay? Yes, in an individual way. And you've been asking the Lord, and you've been saying, God, I'd like to be ministered to, okay? But the prophets have just walked by for whatever reason. I want you to come. Amen. Brother Gus, come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just all begin to pray. In the name of Jesus. In times past, God shows me that there's been that time when you walk in circles and you walk in a bit of confusion, and there have been many things that you have put your hand to and tried and done this and that in the name of the Lord sometimes because you wanted to be used of God. And God is saying that He is changing the way it was in a former day when it seemed like there wasn't the blessing on the things that you did in the way that you wanted it to be. And God is saying that He's bringing your walk and your path into a new direction. And He is going to cause the confusion to be laid aside as you behold Him. And He's going to cause there to be fruit born to your ministry of a deeper dimension, a fruit to be born in that which you have God has given you to do. Oh, don't look at the failure and look at the place where you've been in previous years and in previous days, but look at that which He is doing now. For God is showing me that there are a number of people in some outlying areas. I feel like it's even as it was with myself in some small towns, in some places that God is going to cause your feet to be and to go and to touch some lives for the kingdom of God's sake. I don't know anything about you, if you're in a ministry or anything, but I feel that there is a giving out of bread. I see loaves of bread in your hand, giving out, and that God is going to cause you to be a source of supply for those that have been hungering for living manna. Hallelujah. 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 For I see the Lord putting wings on your back, as it were angel wings. I'm not saying you're going to be an angel. But what I feel is that God is going to lift you above a situation and lift you above a circumstance that has been a source of frustration to you. In one particular situation that God is going to give you, lift you above it and take your feet out of that which has been a source of concern to you, and where it seems like you've been mired into a place, God is releasing you from that. You've prayed about it a number of times, a particular situation, and I believe that God is saying to you, Brother Gus, that He has heard your prayers and that He is the one that is bringing deliverance in this particular area, and He is going to cause of the prayer that you prayed and other prayers that you prayed to begin to bear fruit, that your eyes are going to be seen. You're going to see the fruit of the prayer that has been prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ko ba chandra. Le ba karando. Ibakasarabakuya selabarando. Hile bakarandola bakabaserande. Lebo kosharai. Lebo lakarando. Leba kase. You know, I see a picture. I see a picture of you writing letters. And I see where those letters have gone out all over. It's like I see it in other countries. And I believe God has given you a pen to write, to share bread with people in other lands. Feel like you've been a blessing to missionaries. Feel like you've been a blessing to people that have been in the Lord's work. And that many times that God has put it on your heart to write a letter to so-and-so, to just give them a scripture and to give them a word of the Lord. And God is saying that it has borne fruit, that it has done a work in people's lives. And not is He calling you to lay it aside, but He's going to add to it. And we thank You, Lord. We thank You for this ministry. We thank You, Lord, for the intercession. We thank You for that heart You've put on her, Lord, for people in other lands and for missionaries and ones in other lands. And we release her wholeheartedly and even more so into that ministry in Jesus' name. And I feel that even in your own community, God is showing me a number of people right in your own community who are being touched by the Spirit of God in you. And we, as three people, God is showing me that you are praying for, and we just agree with you right now in that intercession. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Three people that you're praying for, we agree with you right now. Hallelujah. That the work would be accomplished, even as our sister has interceded and trusted you and believed you for the answer in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Handarabo kisharai, lebakara bakushare handarabolokundro, kebaria bakushai, lebarakorando, lebakara rabakurabahase, leborakoriandarabokushandre. In the name of Jesus, we just believe you, Lord, hallelujah, for a touch of God in a very significant way throughout her body, in Jesus' name. Horiamakaihi shakaramahokorande. In the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for our sister. We thank you for the place that you have put her. We thank you for the catalyst that she is in the very place that you have put her. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that there would be a bearing of fruit in that place where she feels like she's so much alone, where she feels like she is standing alone. And in that fellowship of people where she feels like she is very much alone, we pray, Heavenly Father, we agree with her for a harvest of souls in that area. And we pray that you'll give her the eyes to see by the Spirit and the discernment to go and to gravitate towards those people that are seeking you and that are hungry for you, that you'll give her the word of knowledge to them in that place, that God, that she will be a bearer of good news to those that still are on the outside looking in, that don't have the reality yet of sins forgiven. And I pray you're going to use my sister to be an evangelist in that very area to bring people to Jesus and to bring them into the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We pray for her hands right now. Pray an anointing on her hands in Jesus' name to bring a deliverance and a touch of the Spirit of God in a dry and thirsty land. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hikarabashalabahaya. Bakoreai lebora karando. Leba le kalaba koralaba kasele borando. I see a picture of you back and forth in one place and feeling like you've really been trying and asking the Lord, Lord, what more can I do in this place? What more can I do? And we just agree with you right now in prayer that God will bring a release in that place where you live, in that community where you are, in the name of Jesus, that, Lord, you're going to bring her out of that place that she has considered a rut, and bring her out of that place where she's felt like there's no anointing, and where it has been limited, and where it has been stifled, and we release her, Lord. And I pray that in that inner court place, that as with the sons of Zadok, there is going to be a revelation of the holy and the unholy. You'll show her, Lord, the difference between the precious and the vile. And that, God, you will use her to be a teacher, to teach others of that which you've taught her. We believe you, Lord, that you will use her to touch lives, to teach the word of the Lord to individuals that are in need of understanding in the ways of God. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Horabakasharia baka randai. Extend your hands towards our brother and sister. Amen. Bless them right now in Jesus' name. Korebakaya sembre lebahaya. Leba randa laba kandre le karando. Driba baka sharaba le koranda leba kondre. God shows me that you've looked here and there. And you've turned this direction. And that you've turned that direction. And that in times past you've been disappointed because of things that have happened. And disappointed in people who said much, but you did not see the fruit of what they said. And you've been very disappointed over a period of years because of things that you had high hopes for and things that you had an interest in and things that you put your attention and your energies towards that did not come out the way that you thought they would and the things that God had put in your heart. But God says not to be discouraged because of that which has looked like others have failed you and where you missed it. And where there was that disappointment when people failed, but God is saying to behold him high and lifted up. And he shall yet cause there to be a joining with others of like spirit. And you've been lonely, and we release you from that right now. There are others of like spirit, and we just pray specifically for them this morning, Lord, that God, you're going to cause them to be knit together in the place that they are with other people who are of the same persuasion. And I believe God is saying that it's not that there's not going to be that much more looking here and there and going here and there, but he is establishing you in a place. I don't know where you're from, or maybe you're going to make a move. I don't even know that. But I feel he's establishing you in a place where there will be those of like mind who are going to be a blessing to you as well as you being a blessing to them. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
For the balance of the prophecies of this service.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.